This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Bloomington aldermen have taken steps toward creating affordable housing for seniors. It also agreed to sell land to the Boys and Girls Club. GLT's Ryan Denham is in studio with Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after the regular and special council meetings. Mayor Renner, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Again, great to be here, Ryan.
The council last night approved rental assistance for this new senior apartment project on Washington Street in the former Bloomington High School building. City's already approved a tax increment financing district, or a TIF, of up to $1.3 million in property tax breaks for that area. Now also kicking in up to $228,000 to help lower rents in four of the 57 units that are going to be there. So what did you think of this rental assistance proposal?
I strongly support this, and it's really critical that we understand that affordable housing is a serious problem in our community, and this is one of many. Obviously, this particular project doesn't solve that problem, but it is one of many pieces that we're pursuing to try to make sure that all people have access to reasonable, affordable housing. Now, let me also explain why in this particular project. One is the TIF money that you're talking about is not coming out of our current revenues. This is revenue, up to $1.3 million is generated by the private investor and the money that they put into it. So if the private investor puts in, and if there are cost overruns and they have to put in $15 million, they don't get any extra money as opposed to $13 million or whatever. And so that's money based on their future revenues, the increased property taxes in the future. The somewhere between $36,000 and $228,000 is what the city will commit to rental subsidies over a 10-year period. So that could be somewhere between roughly $3,000 in our budget and $20,000 a year on average in our budget over time. I think that is a small price to pay for this particular project. And it's not just about affordable housing. It's also a boost in economic development. It's not just a multi-million dollar project on the adjacent to downtown, but it also helps us link downtown to Greentop Grocery on the Washington Street corridor and, of course, the bike trail. So capital will attract even more capital. Obviously, we've been trying to sell the Coachman property that's inside this TIF as well as encourage other future investors. And, in fact, actually, I'm meeting later this week with one of those possible future investors. So this, I see it as win-win all around. It's primarily affordable housing, but it is also economic development.
When the city had already approved, as we talked about, the property tax breaks for this area through the TIF, and the developer was already getting low-income and historic preservation tax credits, I think those are state and federal.
Correct.
So what's your sense of why those incentives on their own were not enough to make this project financially viable? Why this thing at the end still needed to kind of happen?
For a variety of reasons. The main cost is when you take an old building that is nearly 100 years old, there are always hidden costs. There are always things that you don't know are going to happen that do. It's also the case that the amount of money that you would put into an older building for historic preservation is a benefit to the community. I think it's critical for us to not bulldoze down the old Bloomington Junior High School. It's an incredible building. It's part of our historic past, and it can be part of our future. And so it's not unusual to have to take a look at a portfolio. This is vetted in a systematic process. We don't just come up willy-nilly with, $36,000 or whatever the figure might be. We have a clear formula for what it is that's acceptable, as do the federal government and state government, people who are involved in issuing those grants.
So will there be others like it on the horizon? Are there more affordable housing projects that could be done with city support?
Yes. Now, are there immediately on the horizon? Don't hold your breath. I mean, they're going to come, but they're not necessarily coming in the next several weeks or the next couple of months. And also, we're also gearing up toward an era, the time of the year where you're not really going to begin construction in December, January, February, et cetera. But we're constantly doing whatever we can to leverage all of our assets as effectively as possible to promote economic development and to do public good things like affordable housing.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. In other action last night, Bloomington City Council also approved selling some land on the west side to the Boys and Girls Club so they can build a new clubhouse at Sunnyside Park, selling that land to the club for a dollar. So, Mayor Renner, why did you think this particular proposal won such unanimous approval up there on the council?
Well, that's a good question about why it's unanimous, because the council is rarely unanimous on potentially controversial things. But I think this was a win-win for everybody. The Boys and Girls Club is currently renting from the Bloomington Housing Authority its current facility. They have gotten money and grants to try to keep it together. The Housing Authority has been reluctant, and that's maybe putting it charitably, to put any money into the building. It's an embarrassment to our community. We do not have, in Bloomington, with nearly 80,000 people, we do not have a recreation center. And yet we're the wealthiest community of our size in downstate Illinois. And we also should have recreation facilities on the east and west side that are at least roughly comparable and equal. That's not the case today. And that won't be the case with this, but this begins to reduce the inequity between the east and the west side. Again, nothing wrong with the east side. I live on the east side. I live not too far from a really, really nice park. But there are very few of those on the west side. And it's not just parks. It's also, in this case, recreation facilities. And it, given what the Boys and Girls Club does and its mission, it has great positive spillovers for at-risk youth and others to understand that they are part of our community, and they can become part of our community. And so they are mentored, especially if they're not perhaps mentored or if they've got a broken home life or other issues. So Boys and Girls Club is a great organization, and I strongly support this. The Sunnyside Park has been underutilized in many ways, although we have made improvements to it. Just about 2 years ago, there was nothing out there really. We had a basketball court that you could not really even play basketball on because it had potholes and whatever, and I think we've talked about this before. The water fountain hadn't worked in years. The only thing that you could do, as I've said before, in Sunnyside Park was drug deals. Now we have proper new equipment. You can play basketball, you can play baseball, you can do all kinds of things on that park. And we're also going to have, in a few years, a brand new Boys and Girls Club. And that money, of course, for building it is private money. So we are giving 3.34 acres to the Boys and Girls Club for $1 in order for them to use private money to build, frankly, a public recreation facility and to do public goods.
Well, speaking of that private money, it seems that so much of the development happening on the west side right now is being driven by nonprofits. The Boys and Girls Club, the Habitat Restore just a bit ago, the new West Bloomington Revitalization Project building. Do you hope that some of this leads to interest from businesses, retailers, grocery stores, that private companies might want to invest in this way too?
Yes, and there is actually some interest in terms of some private companies. Some are more serious than others. Some think that come in that we're going to massively subsidize businesses. Well, you know, if you're on the west side, that's certainly a targeted area, but we're not going to massively subsidize you. We will be very happy to work with you as a business person if you're going to put in, let's say, $2 million, and we rebate 10% to that, $200,000 of new revenues that are generated because of your investment. But we're not just going to hand you a check. And I think that is one of the obstacles that some places may do that. In Bloomington, we don't. The other thing that I hope that it will do is to spur the city to put in more investment in the west side. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to go around and look at the recreation facilities in the west side and east side and compare them and realize who got the better end of the deal. Right. And so that's really critical for our youth. It's critical for the future. It's critical for people of all ages to have really good recreation and quality of life amenities in a community. And it makes good economic sense.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Mayor Renner, I want to get your thoughts on a story we did earlier this week about a major overhaul that's underway to the city of Bloomington's zoning code. Essentially, the rules that govern, you know, who can do what and where they can do it, where you can put a parking lot or your beehives or whatever it may be. So how closely have you been following this process as it's been going through the Planning Commission, and what do you think so far?
Okay. Yeah, essentially, you know, I certainly have discussed this with Justin Boyd, who's the chair of the Planning Commission, and at this point, it's not really clear what the ultimate product is going to look like, but it does need to be re-examined in light of our comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan, the Bring It On Bloomington plan that began in 2014 and was approved in 2015. We want to move forward in terms of growth with infill and smart growth, not just sprawling. We see the cost of sprawling in terms of massive expenditures, $141 million on sewers, for example, and many other things, in additional fire stations or reduced 911 service times if you just keep sprawling. So we had a clear mandate from the 8,000 people, over 8,000 people were involved in the comprehensive plan to not sprawl, to try to grow in what planners often call infill, inside the city of Bloomington. And there are plenty of opportunities for that. So that necessarily means that we would need to re-examine and reanalyze our zoning code. I'd have to see ultimately what the product is. I certainly haven't had conversations within the individual zoning board commissioners. I have appointed them. My opinion is I appoint good people, and unless there's something really unusual, I let them do their job, and then we talk after they're finished.
Do you sense that the council is engaged with the process? My understanding is that a draft of all of these sections of the new code are already on the city's website, and the changes are sort of floating around out there, so that by the time it gets before the council, they're not going through it line by line, or something that has already been worked on for a couple of years.
Well, you'd have to ask the individual members of the city council how much they've gone through that. Just as in any legislative body, some are going to be far more engaged than others. But at the end of the day, I agree with you. I would hope that the council is following this closely and understanding what other communities have done. And that's the comparative reference that I constantly talk about. And that's why it's important to go to the Illinois Municipal League or the National League of Cities. What are other cities and communities doing who have gone through our process? We are not reinventing the wheel. So, again, I think in terms of the core answer to your question, I have spoken with, including Alderwoman Amelia Burgess last night, about all kinds of physical changes. But I haven't taken a poll of the city council, to decide who has read how much of this new proposed code.
Well, you start messing with what people can do on their own property, it can be a little bit controversial at times. Do you expect any part of this process, this zoning overhaul, to be controversial?
I would be shocked if it wasn't, is exactly what you said. I've never heard of a zoning code overhaul by any mayor that I've ever spoken with or any situation that did not have controversy. And even if the controversy is misplaced, sometimes there's the improper communication. So we want to make sure that there's as much proper communication as possible, so that people don't seem to think that, hey, we're trying to increase our power of eminent domain. And I had somebody ask me that. No. This has nothing, at least directly, to do with eminent domain at all. And we have not moved forward on the use of eminent domain. So we want to kind of try to nip the rumors in the bud. But I would be shocked if we revise the zoning code without some degree of acrimony.
That's Mayor Terry Renner. Thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. Take care.
I'm Ryan Denham.
The mayors of Bloomington and Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular and special council meetings. Next week, we'll be joined by Normal Mayor Chris Coos.